Welcome to Shiur Nisvarno, Parshas Ekev. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Sylvia Wilkenfeld, in memory of her father-in-law, Shabsei Wilkenfeld, and Neshama should have an aliyah. She must not have thrown the Tarmis as a Maisim Tovim that the family are involved in. We spoke yesterday, we connected a number of comments that the Svarno has, where the Svarno says that the focus of much of Drukim, Tes, and Yud is how the Jewish people have this terrible trait of stubbornness. They are an Am Kshei Yoref, stiff-necked people. That character trait served them poorly in the previous generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Chet HaEgel, wanted to destroy the Jewish people, not because of the sin per se, but because of the fact that they were Kshei Yoref, they were stubborn, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't anticipate that they will do tshuva, they're going to stay in their ways. And indeed, what the Pesukim then go on to document, according to the Svarno, is that time after time again, the Jewish people kept repeating the same mistakes. They didn't learn from their mistakes. And that is the result of their being an Am Kshei Yoref, being such a stubborn, stiff-necked people. They can't turn their head to contemplate a different way of looking at things, a different way of doing things. What we do is what we do is what we do is what we do. We always did it this way, and we're just going to keep on, engaging in the same types of averos without being able to modify our behavior in any way. We saw yesterday that the Svarno even says, somewhat of a, as people pointed out yesterday, somewhat of a chiddush, a novel idea, that the Pesukim call out the Jewish people for having not mourned the Aaron HaKohen sufficiently. And the way the Svarno understands the Pesukim over here, that, Aaron HaKohen passed away. There was a group of Jewish people who had gone looking for pasture for the sheep. They mourned, but apparently they didn't mourn sufficiently. They didn't sufficiently come back to display the honor that was due Elazar, Aaron HaKohen's son and successor. You can't get past, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, you can't seem to get past this, this pattern of doing the wrong thing because you're an Am Kshei Yoref. That then leads, as we follow that theme through the Pesukim, that then leads the Svarno to give a certain interpretation of the flow of Pesukim, beginning in Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis, famous Pasuk. Ve'ato Yisrael, and now, O Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach. What is it that Hashem is asking from you? Kiyim Le'yiros Hashem Elokecha Le'leches V'chol Drachah V'l'avoso V'l'avodes Hashem Elokecha V'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. What is Hashem asking from you? He's only asking that you fear Him, walk in His ways, love Him, serve Him, observe the mitzvos, letovloch, for your own good. So we know, the Gemara in the fifth Perek of Brachos famously asks on this pasuk, Atu yiras Hashem milsa zutrasi, is fear of God a small thing? What does the Pasuk say? What is Hashem asking from you? Only to fear Him. So that's the Gemara Baruch Hu says. What do you mean, only to fear Him? It's like a little thing, a throwaway. What's that? Right, only everything. He's only asking from you everything. The equivalent would be, what am I asking from you after all? A few million dollars. What's the big deal? Right? So we'll see. The Svarno doesn't ask this question explicitly, but we'll see the way he explains the Pesukim, it helps answer this question in a way that's different from the way the Gemara does. The Gemara is talking, focusing on the Pasuk from one perspective. The Svarno, who ties these Pesukim into his overall theme, that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the people and saying, you have to get past the stubbornness, the stiff-neckedness that you have, the Pasuk will flow according to that in a way that it answers that question. The first point we have to bring out is, what's the meaning of the opening word of the Pasuk, Ve'ato, and now? And now means that somehow this is a message which is unique to these circumstances. But why is that? What's Hashem asking from you? He's asking from you that you should fear Him. Why is that a message that's particularly appropriate for now? That's the eternal message. Hashem is always asking us to fear Him, to love Him, to walk in His ways. So the way the Sfarno explains this pasuk coming on the heels of the Musa that Moshe Rabbeinu has just given is as follows. Im kein, if all of this is true, meaning that you call yourself suffered from stiff neck syndrome, you know that we call it, you know that you're an amkshe orif, ato Yisrael hishtadel ato l'sakein uvascha mikan v'hom. I'm now calling out to you, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael, to correct this trait going forward. I've just documented for you how this trait of being stiff-necked has been a problem, not just in this generation, but in the previous generation, but a problem for the last 40-plus years. The Atta, now that I've brought this to your attention, from here on in, I'm asking you to change your ways. Okay, so that sounds easy enough. How am I asking you to change your ways? So, I'm asking you to fear Hashem, to love Him, to walk in His ways, to serve Him, to observe the mitzvahs. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, that's a tall order. That's a lot that you're asking, right? So, the point of these psukim, according to the Sfarno, is as follows. Hashem is asking you for all of these things, not because He needs it, but rather because it's letov lach, it will be good for you. You have to understand, the point of mitzvahs is good for you. You know, it's like the doctor who has the patient, you know, who comes to him and, you know, the patient has a terrible diet. So the doctor pleads with the patient, please, you know, change your diet. I'm not asking you to change your diet for me. I, as the doctor, don't care. Other hours, you know, the more visits you have, the more I can charge, right? You know, if it was up to me, I'd have you eating lousy food and having a lousy diet all the time, right? I'm asking you to change your diet for you. I want you to be healthy. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael, now that you realize that you have this terrible trait, change it. Fear Hashem, love Hashem, walk in His ways, keep His mitzvos. And the reason for all of this is the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel, L'tov Loch. It should be good for you. Comments describe that they should Tizkeh L'chayei Olam. You'll merit eternal life. You'll merit Olam Haba by virtue of doing all of these things. I'm pleading with you to do this for your own good. What's the ki'im? You know, what is Hashem asking from you? He's only asking from you these things. Right? So you have the Gemara and Brachos' question. What do you mean He's only asking these things? These are a million things to do. To fear Him, to love Him. What do you mean He's only asking? He's only asking L'tov Lach. That's how the Sfarno understands the Pasuk on a simple level. He's not asking these things because He needs them. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach. What is Hashem asking from you? He's only asking that which is L'tov Lach. Ki'im L'tov Lach. In other words, you have to put together the words Ki'im only and L'tov Lach for your own good. That's the way you read the Pasuk on a simple level. Again, the Gemara obviously is coming from a different perspective and Shivim Panim LaTorah. You know, it's not like this is a right way of reading the Pasuk, this is the wrong way of reading the Pasuk. They're all different perspectives on the Pasuk. They're all correct. But you know, the Sfarno is saying one way to read the Pasuk, which naturally eliminates the question of the Gemara, is Ki'im L'tov Lach. Put together the beginning of the phrase with the end of the phrase. He's only asking you to do all of these things for your own good. You know, that you should benefit from all of these things. Then when we keep reading the Psukim, we encounter a Pasuk that really helps us see the approach of the Sfarno in the Pshat itself. We keep reading to Pasuk Tezayin. The Pasuk says, Umaltem es orlas levavchem, you should circumcise the foreskin of your hearts, which obviously is a metaphor. I mean, there's no Moel, talented though he may be, who can pull that one off. You know, the foreskin means something that gets in the way of, you know, the heart being able to absorb Hashem's wisdom. So Maltem is Orlas Levavchem, you should cut away, metaphorically, that which is, you know, getting in the way of your heart being able to absorb the wisdom of Hashem. And then listen to the end of the Pasuk, V'arpechem lo sakshu od. And your necks, you should not stiffen anymore. So in other words, this Pasuk really shows us how the Sfarno's interpretation fits into the Pasuk beautifully. The whole thrust of the last two prakim, according to the Sfarno, has been Moshe Rabbeinu giving Musar to the people. You've historically been a stiff-necked people. It's gotten you into trouble over and over again. Now, I'm asking you, at this critical point in Jewish history, when you're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, change your ways. You know, go on a different path. Don't be stiff-necked anymore. And that's the pasuk. The arpechem lo sakshu od. It's enough with this stiff-neckedness, right? It's time to go on a different path. And that's, and the Svaro writes, uvesur koshi ha'orev hamonea milifnos el haroi. When the stiff-neckedness that prevents you from turning in the right direction is removed, tifnu lahakir barachem. You will be able to turn and recognize your Creator, v'siru ki rav omar la'ozlo, and you'll understand that it's terrible, it's evil, it's going to hurt you to abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you think about that, you will think about the following, you will realize the following. Pasuk Yitzayim, ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elohei hu Elohim, Hashem your God is the God of gods, v'adonai ha'adonim, the Master of Masters, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, Asher lo yisafonim lo yikach shochad. The God who is great, mighty, and awe-inspiring, who doesn't show favoritism and doesn't take bribes. And here I want to just focus on the Sfarno's comments and responses for a moment, because four of these words are incredibly familiar to us, because the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah took these words of Moshe Rabbeinu and stuck them right in the beginning of every Shmoneh Esrei. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Right? What's meant by those four words, which we say three times a day? Okay, la gadol, la gibor, la anora. So here the pshat of the Svarna, which, again, pshat and pasuk, but presumably it's also pshat in the tefillah, is the following. Hakel HaGadol, he's the great God. That means, she'ein nimsa shavelo b'madregas min mitziusa. There is nothing equivalent to Hashem in all of creation. And this goes back to an idea which we spoke about last week. The Svarno speaks out the following fundamental idea, which again we mentioned Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, you know, said something very, very similar, and he expressed it in English in the following way. The Svarno had said that the pshat in the words Hashem Echad, you know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad doesn't mean that Hashem is one. It means that Hashem is unique. There's a difference between being one and unique. One just means, you know, there's one. Numerically you have one, but if you have two, I go to the bakery, there's only one cookie left. But it doesn't mean that that cookie is unique. You know? Had I gotten there 10 minutes earlier, before the guy came out and decided to buy all the cookies with the pink tops, right? Except for one, so I would have been able to have 50 such cookies. Except he took 49. Okay, so he left one. But there's no substantial difference between one and two and three and whatnot. That's not what we mean when we say Hashem is Echad. We mean Hashem is Echad. Hashem is unique. There's nothing like Hashem. So that's according to the Svarno. That's Hakel HaGadol. Right? He's great in the sense that he is in a category by himself. That's the first thing we're saying. We say Hakel HaGadol. What's HaGibor? So he writes, HaMekayim Kol HaMetzius B'Metziusa. God upholds the entire universe, the entire creation. Ka'amro, as we say this is part of Pesukei Zimra, Pasuk in Nechemya, Perek Tes, Ve'ata Mechaye Eskulam. We say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give life to everything in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly, as we say in Davening also, Mechadesh Betuva B'Choyam Tom in Maisa Bereshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly injecting into the world whatever it is that keeps the world alive, right? The Chaim Voloshin writes in Nefesh HaChaim that when we say Mechadesh Betuva B'Choyam Tom in Maisa Bereshis, it means literally the world is being recreated every single millisecond. Right? So there's a constant creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proactively upholding the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, decided one minute that he didn't want to uphold the entire world. He could, so to speak, just pull his finger out from underneath the world and the whole world would disintegrate. So that's HaGibor. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is is mighty in that particular way. It's interesting. If you would have asked me, I wouldn't have interpreted Gibor that way. Right? What does Gibor mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu upholds the entire world? I guess the Svardo means it in the following sense. What does it mean to be a Gibor? It means someone who's possessed of tremendous strength. Right? If we envision, again, in obviously non-literal terms, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally upholding the world, right? So there's no stronger, you know, there's no greater display of strength than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally, well, not literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metaphorically upholding the world. That shows his incredible strength. So therefore, HaGibor speaks to that attribute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for the ongoing maintenance of the world, for the very fact that the world continues to exist. The Hanora, so what's the third of these adjectives applied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mashkiach l'shalem v'la'anosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hashkacha in this world, he has providence, he rewards us and punishes us accordingly for our actions, be'ofen shagoy li'rav mipono, in a way that we should fear him, we should have yiras ha'onesh, fear of punishment, and in that sense Hashem is Nora. Nora means the one who inspires fear, right? The word yira and Nora are related to one another. So akel ha'gadol ha'givor v'hanora means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. He strongly upholds the entire world, and he inspires fear because of the fact that he rewards us and punishes us. Right? He created the world, he upholds the world, he's in a category by himself, and reward and punishment. Again, so much of the Ikrei Emunah themselves, you know, the fundamentals of faith, according to the Svarno, are contained within the short phrase that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, you know, took from the statement of Moshe Rabbeinu and incorporated into our daily Shmon Esrei. You know, by the time you finish saying that phrase in Shmon Esrei, according to the Svarno, you've already, you know, signed off on a good number of the Ikrei Emunah, of the fundamentals of our faith, just by saying those four words, HaKel HaGadol HaGibor Ba'anora. Right? So I think something to think about. Yeah. So, grammatically, when you have, like that, a noun and the hey is the direct article, right? The. So whenever you have a noun and an adjective, so Hebrew assigns the direct article to both the noun and the adjective. So in other words, if you were going to say, you know, the good boy, you would say hayeled hatov. You know, you wouldn't say hayeled tov. But in English, you only have the direct article, you know, in front of the adjective. But in Hebrew, you put the hey, you know, in front of both the adjective as well as the noun. Okay. The pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take bribes. Asher lo yikach shokat. I don't think anyone would disagree with that statement. I mean, I think we would be very uncomfortable with the notion of a God who did take bribes, right? But it seems almost belittling to have to point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take bribes. What were you thinking? You were thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, like, will slip him a 20? And like, you know, whatever. I was thinking, you know, maybe Shabbos we could, you know, we don't have to keep Shabbos. So, you know, here's $100, you know, we can get around the Shabbos thing. Like, what are you thinking? Why would you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes bribes? So here the Svarno follows in the footsteps of the Ramban. He doesn't quote the Ramban, but the Svarno over here introduces an idea which is really, really fundamentally from the Ramban. It's a very, very beautiful and very important idea. He writes, Lo yosir klal me'onesh ho'aveira b'shvil schus mitzvah sha'asa ha'chote. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take away from the punishment of the sin just because the sinner performed a mitzvah. So in other words, says the Svarno, and again, quoting the Ramban, or, you know, alluding to the Ramban, we obviously don't think, there's no thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take bribes in the human sense of the term. You know, let's slip him something physical. But maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be open to spiritual bribery. What spiritual bribery? Ribbono Shel Olam. It's true. I don't keep kosher. But I give a lot of tzedakah. You know, I didn't do that mitzvah. But I do this mitzvah. Right? It's true. I speak about a lot of Lashon Hara. But you should know, my tzitzis, they're avodas yad. Right? In other words, I do this, and I'll make up for it by doing that. You know, maybe there's like a scorecard or something like that. You know, I'm entitled to X number of avera, demerits, if I can somehow make up for it in the mitzvah category and, you know, have points to counterbalance the avera demerits. You can hear such a thing. So that's the pasuk says, Asher lo yikach shochad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take bribery even in a spiritual sense. We can't use our mitzvos to somehow wipe away or to whitewash the averos that we do. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota, Daf Chof Aleph, Ein mitzvah mechaba avera. A mitzvah doesn't have the ability to extinguish an avera. Right? You think, I did an avera, so I'll do a mitzvah. No, the way to get rid of an avera is to do tshuva. There's a process called tshuva to get rid of an avera. And again, depending on the nature of the avera, even tshuva doesn't always work by itself. You know, that's the Gemara at the end of Yuma. There are various things I may have to do besides tshuva. Yom Kippur, I have to maybe suffer. Tshuva is an element in getting rid of an avera. But one thing for sure, I can't just say, let me do a mitzvah, and that will get rid of the avera. It doesn't work like that. You know, you have to focus on the avera and scrubbing clear the avera, not just doing something else and hoping that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forget about the avera as a result. Right, so there is certainly the concept, right, that Gemara in Yom HaShoshanah talks about, you know, the weighing of mitzvos versus averos in terms of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but the averos never go away in that analogy. In other words, if you're thinking about a scale, it's not as if the mitzvos make the averos vanish. You have to be, you know, you have to be punished somehow for the averos. Just the question is, on balance, you know, are you going to, yeah, on balance, are you going to get the reward, or on balance, are you not going to get the reward? Again, whatever the reward happens to be, the Rishonim argue over there is the judgment for Olam Hazeh, the judgment for Olam Haba, is it about this upcoming year, is it about the world to come? But also, the Averus is never forgotten. Just the question is, you know, what's going to be the final judgment in terms of whatever is being judged, you know? I mean, you failed the course, right? So you may still graduate, but you failed the course. In other words, there's no, just because you passed other courses doesn't mean that somehow I got an A in that course, so therefore they'll give me an A in the course that I failed. You know, you still have to deal with the consequences of having failed the course, and, you know, and whatever that that brings with it. Right, so we do find with regard to tzedakah specifically, that Chazal say that it's legitimate to give tzedakah in order to achieve some kind of result. Ha'omer, Stella Zolit tzedakah b'shvoi sh'yichya b'ni. You know, someone's sick in the family, I want that person to have a refuah shleima. So tzedakah is an appropriate way of dealing with that. But again, I think the answer is the same thing. The tzedakah can bring about that desired result in this world. It can bring about the refuah shleima, it can bring about, you know, I want something good to happen in my life, so I'll give tzedakah, and that will bring about good things. Tzedakah doesn't erase averos, though. I mean, in other words, if I stole from somebody, you know, the tzedakah is not going to make it as if I didn't steal from the person. If I spoke Lashon Hara about somebody, the tzedakah isn't going to erase that. If I ate treif, the tzedakah is not going to erase that. In other words, if I did an avera, I have to deal with the consequences of the avera, either to suffer for it or to do tshuva, whatever it is. Tzedakah can bring about important and wonderful results in my life, but the avera has to be dealt with in its own terms. Well, no. It may wipe out the result. That particular result of that Avera, but the Avera is still on my ledger. The only way to get rid of that Avera entirely, and remember, the ultimate reward and punishment for everything I do is in Olam Haba. So in other words, even if I got rid of the sickness, you know, in Olam Haba, I still have stuff waiting for me, unless I somehow figure out a way to erase that Avera from my ledger. So that's, that, yeah.
Unless they put the color of your car wrong on the ticket, but yeah.
Right.
Well, I
right.
Yes, I
right, so I think really the Sfarno, I think the way the Sfarno and really the Ramban are saying is that we shouldn't be so quick to characterize the world in such a way. Meaning, you do get punished for the Averos that you do, and you can't just get rid of the Averos by doing mitzvahs. The way to get rid of the Averos is to do tshuva on the Averos. In other words, and tshuva's a...
Right, now tshuva could sometimes turn it into a mitzvah. Right, but tshuva's a hard process. Tshuva's not a, you know, a little thing. Right, and you know, you shouldn't just think that, again, if I do enough mitzvahs, I'll knock off the Averos. According to the Ramban and the Sfarno, that's exactly what the Pasuk is telling us. Don't think. In other words, Lo Yikach Shochad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take bribery. Bribery means, you know, well, God, I did, you know, 15 Averos, but I'll do 20 mitzvahs, and I'll you know, I'll come out ahead. You know, it doesn't really work like that.
V'chol zeh, he writes, all of this should teach us shelo tivtechu im techetu lehinatzel b'shum schus min ha'onesh klal. The whole point that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to give Klal Yisrael, was trying to impress upon Klal Yisrael, was this mussar. Don't think that if you sin, that you can somehow just find a source of merit and do away with the sins. Zulasi bat shuva hashlema.
The only way you have to get rid of the sins is complete and absolute tshuva. Otherwise you can't, you know, you can't just rely on other mitzvos in order to get rid of the Averos. I just want to finish off with one very beautiful short insight of the Sfarno. It's based on a pasuk that we say again twice a day. You know, the second parasha of Kriyashma, which appears at the end of Parashas Ekev. So, Pasuk says, V'limadetem osam espeneichem ledaber bo. Right, so that's usually translated, you should teach these mitzvos to your children that they should speak about them. V'limadetem, it's a perek yud aleph, Pasuk yud tes, V'limadetem osam espeneichem ledaber bo. Right, it's interesting that the parallel pasuk in the first parasha of Kriyashma uses a different verb altogether. V'shinantom levonechom v'dibaretokom. So how do we go from v'shinantom to v'limadetem? So the Sfarno gives an interesting pshat in v'limadetem osam espeneichem ledaber bo. It says v'limadetem doesn't mean to teach in the academic sense of the term. Lilamed can also mean to train someone, to make someone accustomed to something. So v'limadetem osam espeneichem means train your children in doing mitzvahs. And one might suggest, the Sfarno doesn't go so far, but one might suggest, you know, the Mepharshim talk about, is there a pasuk which is a source for the mitzvah of chinuch, of training children in the Derech Hashem? So the Meshech Chachma points to a pasuk in Vayera. The Sfarno doesn't quite say this, but perhaps according to the Sfarno, v'limadetem osam espeneichem ledaber bo might be a source for the mitzvah of chinuch. In other words, v'limadetem osam doesn't mean, you know, just teach them Gemara, teach them Mishnayos, teach them Chumash. I mean, you are supposed to do those things, But that's already in Vishnantam Levonecha. What's the Limadatam Osam Spanecha Ladabir Bam? Train your children in doing mitzvahs. Ladabir Bam, such that they constantly are talking about the performance of mitzvahs. In other words, this is something which is part of their regular, as they say, the Holoch Yelech. It's part of their regular, system of living. Whichever pshat, one adopts, limadatem in the sense of academic teaching, or limadatem in the sense of training, they're obviously both true. We have an obligation to do both of them, vis-a-vis our children, and halavai, we don't defy shesekev, we should be zocha, to be mekayim, both interpretations of that very well-known pasuk.